All right, looking forward to that day.
Amen.
Jeremiah chapter 18 this morning, if you would please. Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. We've been kind of working on some attributes of Christ on Sunday morning, but we're going to take a little break out for that for Father's Day. I don't always stop or pause for holidays, but felt impressed to this time. So we're going to talk a little bit concerning fathers. I read this definition. You know what a father is? I thought this was a good definition. A father is a guy who now carries pitchers in his wallet where when he was single he carried his money. That's true. Amen. That's true. They are expensive, aren't they? But you know what? They're worth it.
Amen.
You know, we're in a culture now that's so self-centered that you see more and more people who say, you know, I'm not interested in having children. I'm not going to have children. I'm not going to have kids. And many follow through on that. You know, can I tell you this morning, there'll be a day if you have a full life where your career isn't going to matter that much to you anymore. And when many of those people who you knew and friends have gone on, I mean, they've passed away or moved on, and you find yourself alone, that'll be the day you think to yourself, man, I wish I had some children around me. I wish I had some kids. They're important for other reasons than that. There'll be a day, you know, when we wish we had children, because as we get old and get older, they are the important thing in our life, aren't they? As we get older in life. And so on top of that, one of these days, they may have to take care of us. So you better have somebody around. Jeremiah chapter 18, if you will, verse 1. Jeremiah 18 and verse 1. If you have found that, say amen.
Amen.
And the word of the Lord, which came to Jeremiah, or the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, and so he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Here's our thought this morning, or what I want to deal with today, and that is the Father Potter. The Father Potter. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer and seek his help today. Brother Chadbone, I want you to lead us in prayer, if you would. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Reverence to God's word this morning. The Father Potter. You know, there are several passages in God's word where God uses the picture of a potter. And there's a reason for that, and that is that the picture of the potter illustrates so many things and can be used to illustrate so many great things. And the passage that we're in this morning in Jeremiah 8 is one of the better known examples of the potter. And it's one that's preached on oftentimes and is used many times in sermons. And again, it's just a great illustration of the potter. Now, before I go any farther, let me remind you of this. And that is that every passage of Scripture has only one interpretation. We understand it, or we should this morning, that every passage of Scripture has one and only one interpretation. It doesn't have many. You know, there's no such thing as a verse or passage of Scripture that has an interpretation that's private to you. Right. Peter talked about that in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. He said, no scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, you don't get to have your own personal interpretation of a passage of scripture. It means what it means. So if you have two people who interpret a passage differently, one or both of them is wrong, because every passage has only one real meaning, has only one interpretation. And unlike so many other things in life today, you don't get to have your own. Okay? You don't get to have your own pronouns, and you don't get to have your own interpretation of a passage of Scripture. All right? And so there is only one meaning of every passage. Now, while every verse of Scripture has only one interpretation, a passage of Scripture can have other applications or have several different applications, though it only has one interpretation. So in other words, a verse or a passage of Scripture can teach one specific truth, but it can also be used to illustrate or be used to apply or to teach a truth that's similar to that. The interpretation of our passage this morning, the one we're in Jeremiah chapter 18, is pretty simple, and that is this, that God says, I am the potter, and he's dealing with the nation of Israel, and God says, as the potter, as the master potter, the heavenly potter, God says, I'm seeking to form the nation of Israel into the people I want them to be, into a people that I can bless, a people who can carry out my will. He's seeking to form them, to mold them as the heavenly potter into the people that God desired them to be, again, so that God might bless them. We're not going to turn there for the sake of time, but one of the great passages on God's desire for Israel is Deuteronomy chapter 28, where God said this about him. I love this verse. He says, I want you to be the head and not the tail. I want you to be the lender and not the borrower. In other words, God says, I want to bless you hand over fist. I want to greatly bless you. But for that to happen, I've got to mold you into the kind of people that I can bless. And so that's what the passage is talking about. It's talking about God molding the nation of Israel to his desire, to mold them into what he would have them to be and desire them to be. Now, what I want to do this morning, though, is use this passage and using this passage, see that the work of a godly father is very similar to that of the potter. Very much like God, the potter was seeking to do in shaping and molding Israel, it is the father's responsibility to shape and to mold those who are under his authority, to shape and to mold those who are under his hand. Come on, God gave us, if we're fathers this morning, children and a family, and we're to be involved in the molding of them. Now, mothers certainly have a part in that, but this is Father's Day. It's not Mother's Day. And so fathers are the potters, if you will, within the home, seeking to mold and to shape those who are under his authority, those who are under his hand, into that which God would have them to be. It's our job to do that. And so we're not to mold them into the people that we desire them to be. We're to mold them into what God would have them to be, which I would hope, if we're saved this morning, is the kind of people we want them to be. And so as fathers, we are very much potters, if you will, under potters, we might say, under the master potter, which is God the Father. Now, there's great similarity between God the potter and the Father who is a potter, and that's not a stretch at all. Look over in the book of Isaiah. It's not a stretch to say that God the potter and the Father as a potter are very similar. In Isaiah 64, if you would this morning, Isaiah 64. Notice, if you will, in verse 8, Isaiah drew this connection between the Father as a potter and God the potter. In Isaiah 64, notice, if you will, in verse 8, it says this, but now, O Lord, now notice, thou art our Father, we are the clay. Then he says in verse 8, and thou art potter, and we are the work of thy hands. I want you to notice that he relates not just the potter to the clay, but he relates the Father to the clay. He says, you are our Father, and we are the clay. You are the potter, and we are the work of thy hands. So it's not a stretch to say that the Father and the potter are similar in their work, because Isaiah does that. God says that God is a potter, but he is also a father. And as a father, he also has a work in molding the clay and molding those who are under his care into what God would have them to be. So this idea of a father potter is not a stretch, because Isaiah made, again, the very same connection between the two. God as the potter is seeking to form a certain kind of person. He's seeking to form a certain type of servant of his. And as an earthly father, we are doing the same thing. Again, not to form the person we want them to be, but to form them into what God would have them to be. And we do that by following the example of the master potter under which we work. Come on, as a father this morning, or now maybe as a grandfather, we are certainly under potters. That's not really a word, but I'm preaching now, so I can make up any word I want. It's an under potter under the master potter, and we're seeking to do his work, and we're going to see that here in just a few minutes. And we seek to form them. We seek to mold those under our care so that they might be blessed of God. Come on, we are in a crazy, insane world that's tearing itself completely apart. And I want my children to be blessed of God. I want them to... All right, now, it's almost the point, we just settle for normal, all right? We want them to be normal. We want them to be blessed of God. More than anything, as a father, as a saved, born-again father, I want my children to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want them to know that heaven is their home, and they have a relationship with the living God. Because if there's anything you need today, it's a relationship with the living God. And so I want that for my children, and I want that for my grandchildren. And that's part of the duty of the father potter to form a child in such a way that they're willing to receive that. I can't save them. If I could, I would. If you're here today and you're not saved, if I could save you, I would, but I can't. And we can't save our children. We can't birth them again. We can't regenerate them. But what we can do as Father Potters is seek to form them into such a way that they're willing to receive the truth of God's Word, and they hunger for that which we hunger for them. All right? And so this is the job of the Father Potter. Now look at Jeremiah chapter 18, if you would. I want to notice a couple of things this morning. First of all, I want you to notice something about Jeremiah. There was something about Jeremiah that had to be true before he could receive this truth of the potter. God is sending Jeremiah down to the potter's house to learn this truth of the potter. And so before that could happen, there was something he had to learn, some things that had to be true about him before he could really receive or understand this truth. Now, Jeremiah was not the potter. He's going to learn about the potter. Now, the word potter comes from a Hebrew word in our Hebrew Old Testament that appears 60 times. It's a common word. It appeared 60 times in the Hebrew Old Testament. And it means what you just might imagine it to mean. It means one who forms. It means to form, to mold, to fashion. That's what the word potter means. It is the very same word that appears in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 and 8, where the Bible says that God formed man of the dust of the ground. He molded the man, if you will, out of the dust of the ground. Scooped up a handful of dirt and he molded the man or formed the man. It's the same exact word. And Jeremiah chapter 1 in verse 5, since we're in the neighborhood, we'll look there. Many of you will be familiar with it, but Jeremiah chapter 1, the exact same word that appears here as well. The word potter, again, referring to molding, to forming, to fashioning. In Jeremiah 1, speaking of Jeremiah himself, it says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet in the nations." I don't know how anybody who professes to be a Christian can be pro-abortion and read verse 5. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." So if you're going to believe God's word, you got to believe that God knew you before you were even formed in the womb. And so it says that God formed him. This is the idea of the potter. God, as I said, is the master potter. Come on, he formed mankind and he forms the baby in the womb, the Bible says, of Jeremiah in particular, but of all of us. So God is the master potter in a whole lot of different ways. So a potter is one who forms, who molds clay. And in our case, as fathers, it's one who molds and forms a person under their hand, or the people who are under their hand. So before Jeremiah could receive this instruction concerning the potter, before he could go any further in this idea of the potter, there were two things that had to happen, two things that Jeremiah had to get a hold of. The first one of those is in verse 2. Y'all still with me? Verse 2. "Arise and go to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee," notice, "to hear my words." Before Jeremiah could really understand this idea of the potter and get his mind around the duties and responsibility of a potter, he had to be willing to heed or to hear the words of God, to hear the instruction of the word of God. Now you would think that this would go without saying, Brother Daniel, but the hearing of God's word, the receiving of God's word, is instrumental in understanding the responsibilities and the duties of a potter. Being able to hear and understand the word of God is what defines for us what a potter is. And it's what defines for us the duties of a potter. And it's what defines for us how a potter ought to behave and how a potter ought to act. And so there has to be a hearing and receiving of God's word in order for us to even begin to understand this whole concept or this idea of a potter. Hearing and receiving God's word are vital to the process of understanding the duty of a potter and molding those under the hand of the Father Potter into what God would desire them to be. Oh, come on, how can I know, how can I mold those under my care into what God would have them to be when I don't know the book, when I don't understand the word of God, unless I'm willing to receive it and understand it? So there's got to be a hearing and a receiving of the word of God before we can even begin to understand all this. You know, I've said many times, I've been here 27 years, so I've said a lot of things many times, but I've said this many times in particular, and that is that any lost person, any person who doesn't know Christ, an atheist, if they have any character at all and are willing to work at it, can raise a good kid. Even, you know, an atheist, I mean, who rejects the Bible, doesn't believe in God, or just someone who doesn't profess to be a Christian, they have any modicum of character about them, and are willing to work at it can raise a kid who won't steal, who will work hard, have a good work ethic, and be a decent person. People can raise a good kid and not be a Christian. But as born-again potters, and if we're born again this morning, if we've experienced the regeneration that comes through Christ, if we're saved fathers today, our desire should not be to raise good kids, but to raise godly children. Amen. That should be our desire. I just don't want to raise a kid who don't steal. I just don't want to raise a kid who's polite. I just don't want to raise a kid with a good work ethic, though we should desire all of those things. Our primary desire should be to form, to mold the children within our home into children who have a passion for the things of God, who have a passion for the Lord Jesus Christ, who desire Him in their life. Amen. To raise godly children. I want good children. But I want them to be good because they're godly. Amen. And so, in order to do that, should be our desire. In order to do that, we've got to be willing to hear and to receive God's Word. How are we going to do it without His Word? Let me say this. If you're a man today, and you're not willing to receive God's Word, and you're not willing to do that which is necessary to be a godly potter, you should just wait on having children until you finally come to the point that you are. Let's not confuse goodness with godliness. Amen. You know, no matter what we're seeking to mold or fashion, you start with and need a pattern. And we're striving and seeking to raise, we should be to raise godly children, to raise those who desire godliness. You know, there's a danger when any child of God, any saved father, raises good kids, but not godly kids. Amen. And the danger is that one of these days, those good kids may end up in hell because they never got saved. You know why? Because they were good kids. A lot of people are going to end up in hell one of these days because they were good people who never got saved. We want our children to understand their need for the Lord Jesus Christ, not just to be good people, but to be godly. So no matter what we're seeking to mold or fashion, I don't care what you're trying to do or build or mold, you need a pattern. A pattern of what you're trying to accomplish. We can't be like Aaron, Brother Chad. We can't say, well, I just threw the earrings in and this calf popped out. Doesn't work that way with molding children. Listen, godly kids don't just pop out. They just don't become, because we're working against everything that's in their nature. You don't have to work at raising horrible children. You don't have to work at raising so many of these young people we see on the news, burning places down. You don't have to work at that. But we have to work at molding them into be godly people. And so we can't just act like, we just can't go on autopilot and think that somehow they're just going to be godly. Doesn't work that way. We've got to have a pattern to follow. We've got to have instructions to guide us so that we know what godly children look like. What's a godly person look like? What's a godly child look like? That's what I need to know. What do I need to do? Listen, what do I need to do to produce in them a hunger for godliness? What do I need to do as a father? What do I need to do to form a child so that holiness and godliness might grow in them? What type of an environment do I need to set? What kind of an example do I need to be? What kind of work do I need to do? What does our home need to be like in order to produce this? Because this should be what I desire to produce. Because I'm very much the potter. So to do that, we need a manual. And we understand this morning that this book is the manual. Amen. Absolutely it is. One of the things that would help us would be, you've got to be willing to throw out all your lofty parenting ideas. And you've got to be willing to throw out all the garbage that the world says your child needs and follow the instructions and the pattern given us by the one who invented children. Amen. And the one who made them. Stop spending all your time reading child-rearing books written by man and listening to child-rearing gurus and homeschool experts and podcasts and follow the pattern of the book. Now, I'm not saying there's not something we can learn from books. There's certainly some things we can learn from people who've gone before us. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that we spend so much time reading books written by men about how to raise a child, and we don't read the manual by the one who made the child. Amen. This book is our pattern. This book is our manual on how to raise children and how to raise that which God would have us to desire. We need a manual. Amen. Come on, amen? Right. Need a manual. Listen, Dad, Grandpa, how are you going to do the work of a potter if you're not daily in the manual? Right. No, if you're not daily in the manual. You can't visit the manual every once in a while. Listen, don't think that you can just visit the manual once things start going wrong. Amen. Yeah. I don't know about you, but when it comes to everything in life, I don't sit around reading manuals. I don't get up every day and read the manual on my car. I don't get up every day and read the manual on my refrigerator or my air conditioner. I don't get up every day and read the manual on those. You know when I read those? When something went wrong, that's when I read it. I should have read this earlier, because if I'd read it earlier, I probably wouldn't be in this spot now. But I haven't read the manual until something goes wrong. You can't deal with God's word that way as the Father Potter. We need to be in the manual every single day.
Amen.
You know why? Because there's influence impacting those we're seeking to mold every single day.
Yes.
You understand the world and the devil never takes a break.
That's right. Yes.
And if that's ever been true in human history, it is true today.
Right.
It is wicked, ungodly, and demonic what's going on with our children.
Yes.
And the influence that this culture is seeking to have on our children. Everything between sexuality and race and all the other things that are going on today, it is criminal what's being taught to children in kindergarten or first and second grade today. And I don't say that lightly. It is criminal what's going on. And so we need to be in the manual every single day, because those kids don't take a break. Their nature doesn't take a break. And this world doesn't take a break. We need to know what God's word says. We need the manual. You can raise a good kid, never once crack open the book. But if you're going to raise a godly one, then you've got to be in the book. And as Christians, we need to take raising godly kids versus good kids seriously. So I know this much. If you don't mold them, the world and the system will. If you don't mold them. And so if we're going to be a Father Potter, Jeremiah, one of the first things he had to learn is the importance of the book. He says, Jeremiah, you need to understand the truth of this potter, but you must heed my word. You must hear the words of God. But then secondly, notice this. Notice the second thing had to be true of Jeremiah that he had to get a hold of concerning the potter. There was certainly to be not only a hearing of God's word, but there also had to be a submission to God's instruction. Because look what it says in verse 2. Arise and go to the potter's house, and I will cause thee to hear. Notice the beginning of verse 2. Arise and go down. And notice his response in verse 3. Then I went down. God said, arise and go. This is my word. Here's my instruction. Arise and go. Jeremiah said, so I arose and went. There was a submission to God's instruction concerning this. Now, not only can a father potter not form godly kids unless they themselves have a spirit of submission, but you can't even receive instruction from God about what a potter is to do unless we're in submission to God's word. You understand this morning that God does not turn on the light of understanding for a rebel. God only turns on the light of understanding his word for someone with a submissive spirit or a submissive heart. You know, dad, mom, you know, one of the very worst things you can do as a potter is to come to the house of God, hear the truth out of the word of God with those kids sitting right next to you, and then go home and in one way or the other say, well, we're not doing that. One of the absolute worst things you can do. Because you know what? We don't have any real little ones up here, so I can use this word. They're not stupid.
Right.
They sit right there and listen to the very same things you listen to. And then to go home and say, well, we're not doing that. I'm not going to do that. Well, I heard him. I know what he said, but we're not doing that. That's one of the absolute worst things you can do.
Amen.
To a child. Yeah. Because you know what they need to see? They need to see that the potter is willing to be submissive to God's word as well. You know, so much rebellion that we sometimes see in church kids is the result of a potter who lacked a submissive spirit. And it's oftentimes over the smallest, silliest things. It's a submissive spirit that's primarily preeminent evidence of a born-again relationship with God. That's one of the greatest evidences that you've been saved is a submissive spirit to the things of God. And that's something that your kids need to see in the potter or in the life of the potter. You know what they need to see? They need to see a dad who is submissive to the word of God and submissive to the things of God. That dad's not so cool, he don't have to go to church. That dad's so tough, he don't have to listen. That dad's so smart, he just goes his own way. No, they need to see a dad who's submissive to the word of God. Show me in the word of God where it says, and I'll do it, because I just want to obey God. That's what they need to see. So, To be a successful father potter, there's got to be this readiness to hear God's word. There's got to be a submissive and obedient spirit, or we're never even going to understand the job of a potter. Come on, you with me so far? Now notice this secondly. Only 2 points today. Sounds promising. Just 2 points. Secondly. Now after Jeremiah was in the place where he could receive this truth of the potter, when he was willing to receive God's word and he was submissive to the Lord, God's now turning on the light of his understanding so that he can understand what a potter is. And again, I can't emphasize enough, it's not until you are willing to heed God's word and you're willing to surrender to that, submit to that, that God really begins to turn on the light of our understanding so that we might know what we need to do as a potter, how we need to go forward, what we need to do. And so after all that happens, God now shows Jeremiah some things about the potter. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is this, and this is important in verse 4. It tells us this. As Jeremiah went down to the potter's house, now that his understanding is turned on, it says in verse 4 that he noticed something about the clay. That is in verse 4. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred. It was marred in the hand of the potter. Jeremiah's understanding now turned on. He noticed the clay was marred. The word marred, the literal definition of the word is to corrupt. It means corrupt. It means spoiled. It means ruined. This is the same Hebrew word found in Genesis chapter 6. Turn over there if you will. Genesis chapter 6. Jeremiah said, I've seen the been down to the potter's house, and I noticed one of the first things he noticed. Matter of fact, as soon as he walks into the potter's house, the very first thing that he notices is that the clay was marred, that it was corrupt, that it was ruined, that it was spoiled. The same Hebrew word, exact same Hebrew word, appears several times in Genesis 6 and verse 11. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. So you get the idea from this, it's really corrupt. The same word that God used to describe the condition of the world before the flood, the sinful impact of man and the impact that sin has had on man, he defines as corrupt. Three times in two verses, God calls it corrupt. Well, that's the same word that's translated marred in Genesis or in Hebrews. Where are we at? Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 18. It's in the Bible and somewhere. And Jeremiah 18, it's the same word that's described as marred in Jeremiah. Now, the work of a father potter is to fashion those under his authority after the pattern of God's word. Come on, that's the purpose of the father potter. A saved father potter. That should be our biggest desire, should be that. And so I'm trying to shape. I've got these lumps of clay in my house, all right? Not teenagers, any kid. Lumps of clay in my house. And so I've got these lumps of clay, and my job as a father potter is to mold them into something that will receive God's word. But I've got a serious problem. And the serious problem is that they are corrupt. They're marred. They're spoiled. That's the problem. And they're corrupt and marred and spoiled because they have a sinful nature, just like I've got. And so I'm trying to mold this clay into something that the master potter would have me do. But the only problem is their very nature fights against being molded. Fights within itself about being formed. Their nature cries out, I will not be shaped. I will not be formed. They're spoiled. They're ruined. Because of their nature. I'm not picking on them. You're spoiled too. And ruined as well. Because we're all sinners by nature. And so we're dealing with this spiritually marred clay. These children who looked like little angels when we brought them home. And then we wonder what happened to them. I've had parents say when they have their first child, I've had parents sometimes come in and think, I've literally had them say, without exaggeration, literally had them say, I think something's wrong with him. He used to be so sweet. I think something's wrong with him. No, there's nothing wrong with him other than the fact he's a sinner. That's the problem. He used to just do what I told him to do. Something, he's broken. somebody broke him. Something's wrong with him. It's that nature, isn't it? A nature that rebels against being molded into that which is godly. But there's good news in all of this. And that's in verse 4 as well. chapter 18, verse 4. The good news is that though the clay is marred, it's not beyond salvaging. It's possible to make it again into another vessel. Look what he says in verse 4. The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. So the good news is that while those kids in my house are marred by their nature, and my job as the father potter is to mold them into something godly so that they might be blessed of God more than anything, so that they might come to know Christ as their Savior, so that I might get to spend eternity with them, and that they might be blessed in their life, and they might raise my grandchildren that way. That's my job, but I'm facing a huge problem because they are by nature ruined, corrupt spiritually. They're sinners by nature, as we all are. But all hope isn't lost because it can be made again into a new person. Now, this is where the Father Potter comes in. In seeking to reshape them in the time that he has to do so. We understand as Father Potters, time's limited. We only have so much time. Listen, the longer time goes, the harder the clay gets. And so I have a time in their life where they're very malleable. But if I, as a father potter, goof off and waste the time, if I focus on self, then before long the clay gets harder and harder and harder until it's difficult to mold. But for a while it can be reshaped fairly easily if I will do my job as a father potter. The father potter can't reshape them completely himself. Listen, I can't save them. I can't bring about regeneration in their heart. I can't make them a new person in Christ. I can't do any of that. But there is something I can do. Notice in verse 4, and that is that I can seek as a father potter to form them or to mold them into a vessel. Verse 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred. So he says, what I can do is seek to form them into a vessel. You know what a vessel is? A vessel is that into which you pour something. It's that into which you place something. Come on, isn't that what a vessel is? It has a purpose, and that purpose is to receive something. It's something that can be, something can be placed into it. Something can be put into it. The Father Potter's work is to shape the hearts of those under him so that they might be vessels, so that they might be willing to listen to, that they might be willing to receive, that they might be willing to hear God's instruction. I can't save them. I can't make them godly. I can't force them to be godly. But what I can do as a father potter is try to have the kind of home, try to have the kind of leadership, try to have the kind of example, try to be the kind of potter that hears God's word and submits to it himself, try to be that kind of example where I can create with them a situation where their heart is willing to receive God's word and willing to hear God's word. Listen, I can't make them listen, but I do know this much. I can be the kind of father potter that will turn them off from God's word. And nothing will do it quicker than to not have a submissive spirit either by mom or dad. And so there's hope. That is, as a father potter, I'm trying to form these kids. I'm trying to create an environment, trying to create a hunger for God's word and the things of God, trying to keep them exposed to God's word so that they might be willing to hear and to listen so that I can pour God's word in. Because that's the only thing that's going to help them. So there's hope. They can be reshaped. They can be formed into a vessel into which we can pour the word of God. First of all, concerning salvation. Because that's what I want to get. I want to fill them up with that. About how to know Christ as their Savior. And then after they come to know Christ as their Savior, I want to fill them full of all kinds of instruction about godliness and holiness and how to live for God. What a blessing it is to serve God. How if you live for God, you won't have to put up all the garbage that's going on all around you.
Amen.
Pour that stuff in so that they might know the truth. The potter is to create a situation in which children will be willing to receive and apply God's word. Now, if that's done, there's hope for the marred clay. Amen? There's hope for the marred clay. There's nothing more a child needs in this world than a father who knows God's word, is submissive to it, and striving to have a type of home and type of situation, type of example, into which they'll receive God's word. Nothing more valuable than that. Amen? So they can be reshaped. There is hope. And if that's done, there's hope for the marred clay. That's the reason why, above everything else, this should be the goal of every potter. Notice what it says in verse 4. This should be our desire as seemed good to the potter to make it. As the under potter, this should be the type of pot I'm wanting to make. I don't want to make a crack pot. Amen. I don't want to make a vessel that's willing to receive God's word, that hungers for God's word. Isn't it a shame that we have so many young people today who have no interest in God's word whatsoever because they've been convinced by the world that's of no value. And it's hard to conceive of, isn't it, when you look around us today at a generation who doesn't know if they're a man or a woman, who thinks that that marriage is between two males or two women, who thinks that abortion, the murder of a baby, is a simple solution to a problem, has no concept of godliness or any of these issues. So many of them who haven't grown up in a godly home. This is what we need more than anything else. You know, things used to be a lot better in this country. I heard somebody say the other day, we need to add something to B.C. and A.D. when it comes to time. We need to add B.Y. before you. Because we're kind of at a time now where people don't seem to understand there was a world before you. And things were a whole lot different than they are now. So much better than they are now. But we need to seek to set this environment where we mold them into a vessel to be willing to receive God's word. Now, not only did Jeremiah see the clay that was marred, but not beyond hope if the potter worked it, but he also witnessed the potter as he wrought on the wheel. That's what it says in verse 3. Y'all still awake? Still with me? Oh, we're closing on being done. Verse 3. And I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. I'll confess, I was going to say, this passage right here, this verse is missed by so many preachers and act like I've known this all my life. But to be honest with you, I just discovered this myself this week. And it's a pretty amazing thought. It's not huge, but it's important to understanding the potter. He says he wrought upon the wheel. The word wrought is the same idea as our idea of work. He worked the clay. That's what wrought means. He worked the clay. But if you notice, it says that he worked and worked the clay. There's wrought and work in this verse. And those two words are different. The word wrought means to work. But the word work is different. It's interesting because the Hebrew word for work here, it took me a minute to puzzle on this, but the word means a representative. The Hebrew word is the word for deputy, to deputize, or a deputyship. This is the same word that God used when he sent out the Old Testament prophets. And in those passages, it's translated messenger. They went out as God's representatives. They went out as God's deputies to preach and to teach God's word. Now, when you put this in context with the potter, what's going on here is Jeremiah observed this potter, and he noticed that the potter just wasn't forming pots for the fun of it. He wasn't shaping vessels just because he liked shaping vessels. No, he's been hired to shape a vessel. He's been deputized to shape a vessel. He's shaping the vessel as a representative for someone who has hired him to do so. And so he's not just making vessels. He's doing it because he's been commissioned to do so. That's what we call it. If you want somebody to paint a picture for you, you commission them to do so. You can't paint, so you deputize them to do it. Or you commission them to do it. I can't make a pot. I can, but it doesn't look any better than the ones I made in first grade. And so you may not be able to make a pot, but you can commission someone who knows how to make a pot. And so when he says this, Jeremiah says, I went down to his house and I saw him working in the clay, working on a vessel that he had been commissioned to mold. Amen. Now that's important when you think about it in context. He had been hired to do this by another. He had been deputized, commissioned by another. Listen, as a father potter, we've been commissioned. Right, we've been deputized. I like that word better. We've been deputized on behalf of and as a representative of the master potter. I function as his deputy in the home. And we have no right, listen, we have no right to fashion those under our deputyship in the way that we want. We have no right to ignore our responsibility as the father potter because we have been deputized to mold those under our care into what the master potter would have them to be. And the apathetic father is shirking his duty as the deputy of the master potter. And the father who will not submit to God's word is shirking his responsibility as the deputy under the master potter. And so we have no right to fashion those under our deputyship the way we want or the way the world tells us to, but according to the pattern given to us by the one who commissioned us. We're just under potters. Amen? Follow in the direction of the master potter. Look over in Deuteronomy chapter 8. That's why we read passages, well-known passages like this. In Deuteronomy, I think I said 8, but Deuteronomy 6 is where we're actually going. That's why we read passages like we do in Deuteronomy 6. Verse 1. Now these are the commandments and statutes and judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it. You've got to hear God's word, and you've got to be in submission to it. Verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's sons, all the day of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged, that you might be blessed. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land which floweth the milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently. Here comes the potter. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and thou walkest by the way, and when thou risest up, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and thou shalt be frontlets between thine eyes, and shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land where thou sworn to thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things. He says that he goes on to say that we may not forget the Lord, that we might fear him. So here's the responsibility of the potter. God says, here's the responsibility. Inundate them with the word of God. Have it everywhere. Talk of it when you rise up, when you lie down. Never miss an opportunity to pour more into the vessel. So that we might be the under potter God would have us to be. This is the duty of fathers. Here's what a potter looks like. One who takes every opportunity to instruct in the things of God and in the word of God. And their home speaks of the word of God constantly and talks of it constantly. You know, as under potters, we have a work to do, and it's been given to us by the master potter. To make marred clay under our care into a vessel willing to hear and receive God's word. But now listen. We should never forget that with every deputyship and with a commission comes accountability. If I hired you, if I commissioned you to make me a pot, and I came down to pick it up after I paid for it, and it was a mess, there would be some accountability there. God's deputized us as fathers to form these children into vessels so that they might receive God's word. And I'm going to be accountable for that, responsible for that. One day, every father, don't you think, is going to stand before God and give an account for his commission, for his deputyship. And right now, fishing, sports, doing whatever it is you do instead of being in the house of God on Sunday and Wednesday night may seem more important to you. I guarantee, though, when you stand before God and give an account for your commission, this is the only thing that's going to matter. Well, I would have taken them to church, but we had this, and I had that, and this was going on. And you better take this commission above all else. There's nothing more important than that. And then lastly, we're done. Notice one other thing noted about the potter. We're done. Verse 3, Jeremiah chapter 18. And you will have survived to the end. Verse 18, or chapter 18, verse 3. And I went down to the potter's what?
House.
You know what the word house means? It means dwelling place. He didn't go to the potter's shop. He didn't go to the potter's store. Didn't go to the potter's workplace. He went to the potter's house. Apparently this potter worked in his home. I think it's instructive that God chose a potter that worked in his home. He says, I went down to the potter's house. Went down to the potter's house. Not a shop, but a home. You know, this morning, I could park on this all morning, but I won't. But we need the New Testament church.
Amen.
There's not a Potter father in this room or listening online that has become so good at being a potter that you don't need God's house.
Right.
There's not a father potter in the sound of my voice that has got it so together, is so sharp on being a father potter. Well, I don't think I need church. I think I've got this potter father thing all under control. Lord, have mercy on your children.
Amen.
If that is the case. There's not a father potter who's got this thing so figured out that they don't need to be in God's house every time the doors are open.
Amen.
Because there's not a more important job and duty you have than the commission that was given you by the master potter.
Amen.
I don't care where you work. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you're involved in or what your extracurricular activities are. There's nothing more important than forming those marred vessels into vessels that will hear God's word.
Amen.
We need more of God's house, not less. We don't need to shoot ourselves in the foot by teaching our children by example that there are activities in the world that take precedent over God's house.
Yeah, that's right.
There's things in this world that are fine to do. I like to shoot things. Amen? And so I enjoy that. Not people. Things. I like to shoot. Get arrested. I like to do that. But you know what? I find a way to make that happen around God's word.
Amen.
Around God's house. Because this takes precedent. I love the fact my son loves to shoot. But I don't want him to love shooting more than he loves God's house. I mean, you know, I like to cycle. I do a lot of cycling. And I go involved, and I'm involved in some cycling events here and there. But if I'm gone from here for it, I'm always in God's house. Always in church. Because it should never take precedent over God's house.
Amen. Amen.
It should always come first. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with cycling. Nothing wrong with whatever sport or activity or event it is. But God's house should always be first.
Amen. That's right.
Because it sets the precedent in those vessels, little minds, that nothing takes preeminence over God.
That's right.
Amen? Because that's what I want them to understand. I want them to understand, as you grow up, you need to remember God should always be preeminent. He's not important. He is preeminent.
Amen. That's right.
And preeminent means he comes before all other things. You can be involved in other stuff. But it's to be worked around God, not God and his house around your events. The lion's share of the work of the potter takes place. As much as we need the church, the lion's share of the potter's work, though, takes place in the home. In the potter's house is where the lion's share of it takes place. Because you're aware that you can come to church, but you can undo everything in the potter's house. Because the church's responsibility is not to form the vessel. That's the potter's job. The duty of the church is to uphold the hands of the potter. Amen? And to aid the potter in pouring stuff into him and aid in pouring stuff into their children. But the responsibility of the potter takes place primarily in the home. Amen? And the church has that supporting role which we all need. So that we might raise the people God would have us to raise. Amen? You know, listen, Dad, if you're Dad this morning, we ought to honor what the Master Potter has commissioned us to do. And that's the most important thing. Boy, we ought to be in God's Word. We ought to be in the manual every day. Listen, every father and grandfather in this room should be on our knees every day saying, God, I need help. I need help to form these marred vessels into that which will receive God's word, whether it's grandchildren or children, I need your help. And we ought to be in the house of God every time the doors are open. We ought to be in God's word every day, reading the manual every day, because I guarantee you, if you've been a father very long, you'll know there's new stuff all the time. And I need wisdom and direction. We need to seek to take that marred clay and form it into a vessel that will receive God's word, salvation itself first, and grow in not only that which is good, but that which is godly. And to hear the word of God as fathers, and be submissive above all else, and realize that your commission is to raise, save godly kids, not businessmen.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with being a businessman. We're not all preachers. Some Christians are going to be businessmen. But that's not Dad's primary job. Dad's primary job is to raise them godly. If we raise them godly, I'm pretty confident they'll figure out what they're supposed to do.
That's right.
Never forget that we're deputies under the master potter, and one of these days we're going to give an account for our commission. If you're a young person here this morning, and you've got a father potter who loves the Lord, you should never fight against the potter. Submit unto him and surrender unto him so that he can help form you into what God would have you be. Because you may be smart, you might even be smarter than the potter, but the one thing you lack is experience. Submit to the potter and let dad have a work in your life. Don't fight against the potter. That's what Israel did. That's what this passage is about. God's trying to form what they want to be, and the clay kept saying, no, I will not be formed. As young people, we should never take that attitude. Amen? Yeah. Don't be like Israel and fight against the model, the master potter and not submit. You know, and in chapter 18, I didn't read it, but verse 6 of that chapter, it says this, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? You understand that everything we've talked about is exactly what God's trying to do in all of our lives. He's trying to shape all of us into what he would have us to be. He is the master potter and the father of us all. And so he's trying to shape us into what God would have us to be. God now wants to take what he's trying to do in our life, and as fathers, we're to take it and seek to do it in the lives of those who are under our care. It's a big job. Oh, come on, you should have amen there. Big responsibility to be given a bunch of marred clay to try to fashion into a vessel that would be willing to hear and to receive God's word. It starts with this, though. Number one, first of all, you got to be a born-again potter. You have got to be saved. You've got to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I don't care if you're a father, a mother, a daughter, or a son, or something else. I don't care. We all need to know Christ as our Savior. If you're this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not sure if you're going to die right now or you're going to spend eternity, we're going to have a verse of invitation. The piano's going to be playing. Nobody will be looking around. Why don't you come down front and just say, I'd like to know more about this. I would really like to know more about how to know that heaven is my home. And I say this same thing almost every invitation. We won't embarrass you. We won't humiliate you. Somebody will take a Bible, take you aside privately, show in the scriptures how to apply what the Bible says about being saved. And if you say no, we're done, but we'd love to show you and help you with that. Why not get some answers before you leave? And dad, if you're not saved, man, you need to get that right. Amen. And I don't care who you are, if you're not saved, you need to get that right. Amen. Secondly, mom, listen, you need to be supporting the potter. Amen. You need to be behind him 110%. You need to be praying every day, Lord, help this father potter figure this out. Give him direction and leadership. Help him to be submissive to God's word. Amen. And submit and surrender to that leadership and let him lead. And then young people, maybe you're here this morning and you've been fighting against the potter. Maybe now's the day to come and say, you know what, God forgive me. I've been, you know, maybe not even outwardly, but inwardly, I've been fighting against my mom and dad and against the potter, and God forgive me that. I just want to submit unto him. Or maybe you're just a lump of clay this morning, you've been fighting against the master potter. You need to do business with him as well. Why don't you stand with me, Will? No one looking around, heads bowed and eyes closed. We'll have a verse of invitation.